بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عشان أعرف من أبلغ الشيخ يفضل رومي وقت هذا شيء حكيم ومن اختفى أبلغ الله ما كده تايتل زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی ان یور لائف واٹ ان انجوائمنٹ جو ہے زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی اسی روحانی زندگی ٹوکنی صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی نگہ عارف کا فیضان ہے سالکو نگہ عارف کا فیضان ہے سالکو عشق کی کیفیت بے زبانی ملی یو کانٹ ایکسپلین واٹ کیفیت آف اللہ لو یو فائنڈ تھرو دا فیض آف شیخ صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی نگہ عارف کا فیضان ہے سالکو عشق کی کیفیت بے زبانی ملی راہ تقویٰ میں کچھ رنج فانی ملا راہ تقویٰ میں کچھ رنج فانی ملا پر خوشی روح کو جاودانی ملی پر خوشی روح کو جاودانی ملی ان سے نسبت کا فیض اے دوستو ان سے نسبت کا ہے فیض اے دوستو ان سے نسبت کا ہے فیض اے دوستو دل کی ہر وقت جو نگہبانی ملی دل کی ہر وقت جو نگہبانی ملی اور زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی سب کو نسبت ملی شیخ کے فیض سے سب کو نسبت ملی شیخ کے فیض سے سب کو نسبت ملی شیخ کے فیض سے بدگمانوں کو بس بدگمانی ملی اللہ بدگمانوں کو بس بدگمانی ملی اہل عقبا کو دونوں جہاں مل گئے اہل عقبا کو دونوں جہاں مل گئے اہل عقبا کو دونوں جہاں مل گئے اہل دنیا کو دنیا فانی ملی اہل دنیا کو دنیا فانی ملی نفس کو جس نے اپنے مٹایا اسے نفس کو اپنے جس نے مٹایا اسے نفس کو جس نے اپنے مٹایا اسے کیا ملا نفس کو جس نے اپنے مٹایا اسے رائے حق میں بڑی کامرانی ملی رائے حق میں بڑی کامرانی ملی ہے مبارک جو ان پر فدا ہو گئی ہے مبارک جو ان پر فدا ہو گئی ہے مبارک جو ان پر فدا ہو گئی زندگانی تو بس آنی جانی ملی زندگانی تو بس آنی جانی ملی جس کا دل حامل درد دل ہو گیا جس کا دل حامل درد دل ہو گیا جس کا دل حامل درد دل ہو گیا، بندگی کی اسے رازدانی ملی، بندگی کی اسے رازدانی ملی، فیض مرشد کا اختر یہ احسان ہے، فیض مرشد کا اختر یہ احسان ہے، فیض مرشد کا اختر یہ احسان ہے، اہل دل کی طرح زندگانی ملی، اہل دل کی طرح زندگانی ملی، راہ تقویٰ میں کچھ رنج پانی ملا، راہ تقویٰ میں کچھ رنج پانی ملا، پر خوشی روح کو جاودانی ملی، صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی، زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی، زندگانی میں کیا شادمانی ملی، صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی، صحبت شیخ سے زندگانی ملی.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ما بعد. This is a very beautiful poem and a bayan of our Dada Sheikh Abdul Hakim Shah Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. The reality, I'm unable to do justice to the words in the translation, but just through the barakat and fears of Hazrat Wala, Allah Ta'ala give me the understanding, inshallah, all of us. Zindagani mein kiya shadamani mili. Hazrat says that the true life of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happiness Allah ta'ala has given us, the happiness of the heart, which is the real happiness. Not the happiness, the physical happiness that we find through the comforts of this world, the ash, which is very temporary. But the happiness of the heart, which Allah ta'ala gives in His muhabbat and love, this is forever. Suhbat al-Shaykh is in the Ghani mili. Zindagani mein kya shadmani mili. Hazrat says that through the suhbat and companionship of my Shaykh, I receive real life, real enjoyment of life from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we see of this world, Allah explains to us, that one is the comfort of this world, which is very temporary. Person can have the most beautiful bed, but he can't buy the sleep. He can have the most beautiful food, sumptuous food, but he can't buy hunger. But he feels now that comfort is in these things. This is just now temporary. The real enjoyment of life is in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person will get from the suhbat and companionship of those people who have this love in their heart. Like how would other sheikhs to say, if you want mitha, you go to mithai wala. If you want kapra, kapra wala. So you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you go to Allah wale. You will sit by them and there you will find them, and there you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you will see them, then you will think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even they are seen that Allah Ta'ala is remembered. As you are sitting here right now also, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then my life became so much enjoyable by sitting in the company of my Shaykh. Nigya arif ka faizan hai sadiqo. Hazrat says that, oh, those that are treading the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the sadiqeen that are in the path of Allah, looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful example. One of our sahabis gave to us, he says in Arabic, بِعَاسَ مَدِعِينَ الدُّكَانِ. It raises the shop. It is هَذَا السَّبِيلُ الدُّكَانِ. This is the road to the shop. If you walk this road, you will end up at the shop. أَيْنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. Where is the masjid? So he tells that person, هَذَا السَّبِيلُ الْمَسْجِدِ. This is the road to the masjid. You walk on this road, you will end up at the masjid. Say, هَذَا السَّبِيلُ اللَّهِ. This today in the company of the Shaykh, we are in the path of Allah, and at the end of this road, you will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that says, O Saliko, those that are sitting the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nikya Arif ka faizan here, this is the effulgence of the nigya and the sight of the arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that is recognized of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he has the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala has created us. So when he looks at everything, he's looking with the eyes of ma'rifah, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing we find that they are taking out lessons of Hazrat Wara and all the mashayikh we find in simple things, how they look at these things, they never thought of these things. One plate of food, where and where Hazrat Wara takes us. To which shore, to which docks, which computers, and the tires, and the tar. We never thought in the entire life, those I think that even study these things. When it comes to the formation of the baby in the mother's womb, how Hazrat Wara will open these topics, what nigha arif it is, how they understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single thing they see around them, and every particle of sand, in the foams of the ocean, at the foot of the mountains, on the treetops, of the leaves falling, and everything they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have the heart, they have the eyes of the heart. Ishki kefiyat bi zubani mili. And he says that the kefiyat and the condition of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I receive bi zubani, that my tongue cannot speak, like bi zubani. When the love of Allah ta'ala will come into the heart, then Hazrat Wala says, then the arif becomes even quiet now. Because that secret connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of munajat that has opened up upon his heart, the zuban, he can't explain it. Like how many a person says to his beloved, how can I explain to you my love for you? I can't explain it. The same way we find the arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when that ish comes into their heart, become bare zubani. That it's flowing from the heart. Like how Shah was say, rahmatullah alayh, that if you cannot take benefit from the silence of your sheikh, then you cannot take benefit from his bayan also. Even in the silence also, the heart is speaking. That's how many times we become fascinated by the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah. Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah, Abu Dawud Shaykh also. The Hazrat, people at that time, I was a young boy in Sangha also, Hazrat had come for i'tikaf. And we met many people thereafter, they say that was the first time they ever went to Sangha, never went again thereafter. So I asked a certain old man, why did you go then? So just to see the face of the Zuliyakullah. There was no bayan, just to go see. Therefore, I didn't come for a bayan. If for us also coming to the majlis of our sheikh, one is the bayan of our sheikh, but one is the bayan of his heart. What is holding to his heart to come, may Allah to give us the siva, the ihsani, the bare zubani ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahe taqwa mein kuch ranj fani mila. And on this path of taqwa to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and break the taqaza of my heart in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was some temporary sorrow and sadness that I had to give up certain things I thought I was enjoying of the masiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was some pain in the heart that I had to leave. Like how one person would say that when he looks at a woman, then he feels that ranj and that pain in the heart. So Tami asked him, when you don't look, how many days you feel the pain? He says, for a few days, compared to when I look. But the few days that I need, and the pain that you did not look, the few days is better than suffering many days of pain that I saw, but I couldn't do anything. So the person will go through a little bit of a ranj and depression of the heart to get the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pur khushi ruh ko ja wadani mili. And thereafter he says that the ruh received the everlasting khushi. Everlasting khushi and happiness that I gave up the temporary enjoyment for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was some pain on the heart, but in exchange for that, there's no vacuum left in the heart. Allah ta'ala will fill it with that khushi, that muhabbat, that love, that happiness from within the heart of Allah ta'ala will grant that person. Once a nisbat ka hai says, hey dosto, that oh my friend, that now we have the nisbat and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Shaykh, that through his faith and his effulgence and anwar, we have the nisbat and the connection to the Shaykh, and this nisbat is bahut qeemti, it's very, very valuable. Many people say, why should we take bi'at to a Shaykh? It is just the nisbat only. For example, this is the example that maybe 50 years ago, the Haram of Makkah wasn't so big, there were hotels around it. But when they began to expand, so that brick which was in the toilet of that hotel, his nisbat changed, the connection changed, it became part of the haram. At that one time now, there was no virtue going to the toilet really. The brick had no value. Now that it gave us itself, it gave up itself, and now the nisbat changed, it's become part of the haram sharif. That person may be a sinner also. But now he has nisbat with his sheikh. And now the nisbat goes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now his qeemat and his value also has changed. دل کی ہر وقت جو نگہبانی ملی And due to that, now he has nigihbani, he has an eye upon his heart. That now he's become watchful over his heart. He has a sheikh also that is watching his heart all the time. Because he has a ta'aluq and a nisbat. One is to take bi'at to the sheikh, one is to build that nisbat also with the sheikh. To keep the communication open, the ittila' and istiba', to inform the sheikh of a person's condition, etc. His spiritual condition. Hazrat says also, many of us, like myself, many of us also, we take bi'at thinking now the sheikh is a marriage counselor. I have a marriage problem, now he will sort it out. Or I have a financial problem, he will become my financial advisor. Hazrat says, we are not here for this. We are here now to make islah of the heart, to assist you. That how you can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the quickest of times. So now I have become watchful and have the shaykh also watching over my heart. I don't stray off from the right path. And here my shaykh, he also, the least benefit that you will find in the nisbat, when you take bi'at with the shaykh, is the least, you can say, the least. And that at least will be in the du'as also. When they will make du'a Roza Mubarak, when they will make du'a at Hajar al-Aswad, when they will make du'a at the Multazam, in the du'as are the children, the spiritual children also. And Allah make all the istah, kamil, mukammal. So this you will enjoy the du'as also. Sabku nisbat mili shaykh ya faiz te. They all receive this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the faiz and barakat of the shaykh. Bad gumani mili. And those that had evil thoughts, the only thing they received was evil thoughts. They continued, what these people are up to? That now they're sitting by the shaykh, and it's Chuaki Dara, they're sitting there. But what they are enjoying, sitting in the company of the shaykh, Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali says that these majalis also are such mubarak majalis, that the nisbat that we are receiving with open hearts from our shaykh, he says, the riwayat that comes of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, he says, when the jannati will go into jannat, and you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aina zawjati ina awladi. So my Allah, who is my wife? Where are my children? So Allah ta'ala will say that they have fallen short of you. But Allah ta'ala's promise is, Al-haqna bihim dhurriyatahum. Allah ta'ala will join up the children to them with their lofty status. The time he says included in those awladi, in those children will be the spiritual children also. But he will say, Allah, I said with my spiritual children also, where are they? When they have the majlis also, I speak about your ma'rifat and your muhabbat and your love. So they ummid here, Allah Ta'ala also will join us in Jannatul Firdaus also. Ahli Uqba ko dono jahan mil gaye. Ahli Uqba ko dono jahan mil gaye. And those Ahli Uqba, and Ahli Taqwa. Those Ahli Taqwa in their heart. Uqba refers to the Akhirat. Those that strive for the Akhirat, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them dono jahan. This world and the hereafter. Although they might look like they don't have anything. But the enjoyment they are enjoying now, sitting at the company, at the feet of the Shaykh, in the majalis of dhikr, etc., they have got the enjoyment of both the worlds. In this world also, in the Akhirat also. Many a person says, when I sit in the company of my Shaykh, I have so many problems and worries. But when I sit here, I have no worries whatsoever. But these are the gardens of Jannat right now, we are sitting in right now. Ahli dunya ko dunya fani mili. And the people of dunya, the only thing they received was temporary dunya. So very temporary, day after it was over. Lafz ko jisne apne mitaya usse, rai haq mein bari kaam rani mili. And that person who annihilated his nafs, which is the crux of the entire effort of the tasawuf, ke apne aap ko mitana, so to finish myself. Main kuch nahi, mera kuch nahi. That I am nothing, nothing is mine. Everything is just borrowed, just borrowed, just borrowed. That this milkiyat I have, this is mine, this is all borrowed to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a person who annihilated himself that I am nothing. Nothing is mine whatsoever. Rai haq me bari kamarani mili, on the road of a haq he has gained great success. That now he has understood the crux of life, illa liya'budun. That will become a real slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing is mine. That if a Muslim student of that person, the body is slave, and ask him, what will you eat? O my master, whatever you give me, where will you sleep, wherever you put me, what clothes will you wear, whatever clothes you give me. Master says, you've taught me the lesson of abdiyat, what it is to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with this, Abu Hazrat explains a beautiful point, that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoiled us so much in deen, we are enjoying so many ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now we begin to think we are deserving of these bounties. I deserve to drive a certain type of car, or to live a certain lifestyle. We don't deserve anything. This is only the karam and the ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are enjoying all these things. But remember that I am nothing. And nothing belongs to me. It is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to annihilate ourselves. Hey Mubarak jo un par fida ho gayi. That Mubarak and blessed that person who has ransomed himself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zindagani to bas ami jani mili. Ami jani. So, temporary. So now he's understood the temporariness of this world, because now he sacrificed his life over the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jiska dil hamile dard dil ho gaya. And this was the pain of Hazrat Wala and Hazrat also. To get this dard dil. The way the heart must pain for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like how it pains for the things of dunya. Person comes up to the masjid and now you see he has a puncture. Now it's a pain in the heart. There's a nail in the tire, but there's a pain in the heart also. Now we've got to change this. But this is one salah, it doesn't feel any pain in the heart. So this pain of the heart is that, Ya Allah, before I leave this world to get that muhabbat of yours, such a pain. Such a pain that I cannot sleep at night. The person is restless. How many times Hazrat tells us also, Sawadada Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, wake up 2 o'clock in the night with a dard dil, writing ashar, call Hazrat Wala from the Kamara, Ajana, quickly come away. There's something going through my heart right now. Then he was saying out those ashar from his heart that is paining him right in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that dard dil, Allah ta'ala grants us the pain of the heart. Where we pain and we yearn for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bandagi ke usse razani mili. And I received the secret. The secret of being a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or it is to be a true slave. Allah ta'ala give me the reality. What is real abdiyat? That to be a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how should I be living my life, carrying myself out? What should be the direction of my life? How do I get this into my life? How many of us, we never even heard of this, that I have to become the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become the banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we are having the lesson that how to become the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fayza murshid ka akhtar, ya ikhtan ya. Hazrat says now, the cause of all this, that this in reality is a great kindness of the faith and the barakat of my sheikh. Nothing of mine. This is not my mal, not my saman. Hazrat Wala says also many a time we're giving a bayan, and the way we quote the malfood as if it is my own. But it's somebody else's. Say, quote the person's name. Somebody else's barakat it is. Not everything is ours. But this is a great ihsan of my sheikh that I feel this is going through my heart. Ahl dil ki tarazim nigani mili. And through the ihsan and kindness of my sheikh, that now I have received such a life of the people of Dil, the people that have half. And now I am leading the life of those people that have two half, that are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has become a real life now. Otherwise everything else is mata'ul ghurur, a box of deception. Where is that real? It is a bluff. But though they have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their hearts are different. They are enjoying the real taste of what Allah ta'ala send them into this world for. So this Allah ta'ala will grant us the reality of it when we will sit here with open hearts and receive from the heart of the Shaykh what he has come with. All the barakat of the Haramain Sharifin, Allah ta'ala grant us also and take us all bar over and over again. So for this Allah ta'ala, he must tawfiq and give us understanding, inshaAllah.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhin asfata. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We are in the month of Safar now, and there are great lessons to be learned as far as our deen is concerned, from every aspect, all the time. And certain times, certain aspects become more particular. So yeah, from the month of Safar, the one great lesson that we are taught is the lesson of Tawheed. To have an iman is first, we have iman on the Zat, the being of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala exists, we have that iman. And then on the oneness, the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala is the only doer. Everything is only and solely in the hands of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah make that yaqeen come into our heart. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala said, one of the greatest basharats for a person's forgiveness is in the ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْءٌ. And besides that, to make shirk with Allah, Allah won't forgive. But besides that, Allah will forgive everything. And many ahadith also, other ayat also, that is clear that if when a person is free of shirk, then Allah will grant forgiveness to that person. So we have to consider that. Are we free of shirk? Whether there is some shirk in us. And there is various types of shirk. One is the open shirk, shirk jali, like Hindus, for example, they worship idols. Christians believe in Trinity. That is open shirk. But then there is another type of shirk also, which is called shirk khafi, the hidden shirk. Like to do things for name and show, for fame, etc. That is also a type of shirk. So one is to believe in the being of Allah Ta'ala. Like that a Hindu also believes in Allah, in the being. And they have his name for him, what they call. The Christians also believe in Allah, but they make shirk also. Like that other people also make shirk. So we have to be very careful about that. That there mustn't be shirk. First is that we believe in the being of Allah Ta'ala. Then there must be no shirk in there. So during this month, there are various types of shirk that also have come, infiltrated into the lives of the Muslims. If we consider, before the advent of Islam, that about 600 years or so had passed from the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which there was no Nabi that had come. So a lot of evil had come into the people, particularly into the Arabs. There are a lot of wrong things. So much so that it is said 360 idols were in the Kaaba Sharif. They were worshipping those idols for all various things. The shirk had come. Besides that open shirk, if they wanted to go on a journey, then they should also use various forms of the means to determine whether to go on this day is good or not good. Islam put an end to that. That there is nothing like that. You want to go on a journey, preference is given to Thursday and Saturday that you start your journey. But you shouldn't travel on a certain day. Marriage, for example, till today, unfortunately, it has come back into us that in Muharram a person shouldn't get married, and that is because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that also has nothing to do with the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's an event, an incident that happened much later. So how can anything be related as our deen to a thing that happened in later history and not in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Many people in the month of Safar, they say it is an empty month, khali mahina. There is no goodness in this month. Many people in numbers, for example, the number 13 or so, or other numbers, they regard that as unfortunate, unlucky. There is nothing like that whatsoever. Many people in certain animals, like the bat, the owl, with regard to the owl, that which owl, house the owl goes to, then that house is unfortunate and it is bad luck. Or some people, a house they regard as bad luck. And these things have come back into us. Because there in the before Islam, and what an effort Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made to take it out of the hearts of the people, out of their veins, out of their blood, out of everything, that it did not exist at all. And now, because of the lack of effort of deen, the lack of attention towards deen, and more towards dunya we went, and this aspect of deen and our deeny life got neglected, all these things came back again. We might become complacent, we are not worried of our deen, we are unmindful of it. But the enemy also, and who are prompted by shaitan and our nafs, they are never complacent. Where shaitan gets you, he will never become, now I got this person in my classroom. No, he will keep on. nafs will also keep on. So this shows that how much more we have to be concerned about our deen. And deen in whichever way the true deen comes into us. Whether it is from a darul ulum, we get knowledge of deen. Whether it is through tabligh jamaat, we become conscious of deen and the proper teachings of deen. Whether it is through the khanqa, and we become attached to a sheikh, and we become guided towards righteousness. In whichever way the true deen comes into us, this is very necessary that each one of the ummah, everyone strives in this way. And that we never become complacent, wherever we reach. Like the common example that we give, you throw a ball up. As long as it's going up, it's going higher and higher. When it becomes complacent, so to say, that I've reached my height now, then it never stays there. It comes down more faster than what it went up. So like that, we can never become complacent, no matter who it is. With the famous story of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, that at the time of Maut, he was saying, not yet, not yet. People around asked him, what do you mean by not yet? Say, Shaitan is telling me that you have saved yourself from my clutches. And I say, not yet, until the last breath does not go out on Iman, on Tawheed. So we have to keep on striving. Never, beautifully it has been said, in deen there is no retiring. You can become retired from one thing, but you become hired in another thing. Like, mashallah, many, many people we see in the marakis of Jamaat, that they become retired of dunya and they become hired in the Merkel. And they keep on doing Merkel's work, all the khidmat and the marakis. In the same way, all other efforts also, many people, when they so to say have retired, they go to a darlum, they go to a khanqa, they make their lives waqaf there, so they became hired in a more greater thing. So this is very important, that all these wrong beliefs must come out of us, and true belief in Tawheed, in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And Islam, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made that effort, that we become perfect ambassadors, models of Islam in everything. Our aqaid be correct, our ibadat be correct, muamalat, muasharat, everything becomes correct. But much more important than of all these things is the importance of our aqidah, our beliefs. And who corrects his belief, Allah Ta'ala gives great honor and izzat to that person. If a person, for example, only believes in Allah, and Allah is the sole doer, and whatever need he has got, and everyone has got needs all the time, we can have everything, but the baqa of it, for that thing to remain in its place, we are also in need of Allah. We have got our eyesight very good, we are not wearing glasses also, for example, nothing. But to keep that eyesight in its place, that is, we are also dependent on Allah. So we are in need of Allah every split second, every split moment. We are in need of Allah in a multitude, in so many ways we are in need of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So a person who realizes this, that I am nothing, Allah is everything. And he turns to Allah at the time of tahajjud. At many other times du'as are accepted. All the time Allah accepts du'as. But there are certain times which are special for the acceptance of du'as. And there isn't a time for the rejection of du'as. What is that? Like bad luck. Good luck there is. There are many things which you have regarded as good luck. And there is no harm in that. You take you have got a court case you are attending, and you hear somebody's name is Falah, successful. Or somebody spoke about Falah. And you take this as a good omen, that I will be successful in this of mine. That is encouraged. But bad luck, even no matter how many times somebody spoke about bad things, don't be affected about that. So much so, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, and many people get concerned about this also. A person dreams that he's in the fire of Jahannam. Don't worry about that also. But you see a dream that you are in the gardens of Jannah, take good omen from that. That mashallah, Allah has given me. And so, in other words, Islam has taught a person to be positive and let no negative factors affect you at all. And a person who is like that, that person will move forward in life. And a person who takes every negative thing against him, he's going to go lower and lower all the time. So this was also one great effort of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam to bring this into us. As far as ibadat is concerned, there could be weaknesses which also we should not tolerate for ourselves. But as far as aqaid are concerned, yeah, there is no question about it. We must be 100% correct. And that is what gives the great courage to a person. And when a person is connected to Allah Rabbul Izzah, as we commonly also give the example, that Allah Ta'ala is that great being, that whenever you want to, you can call upon Allah. He's there ready for you. Allah hasn't got office hours from 9 to 4. That only that time available. Public holidays are not available. Fridays are not available. Sundays are not available. No. Allah is available all the time. Allah Ta'ala, na'udhu billah, hasn't kept a secretary. That you have to go through the secretary to Allah Ta'ala. And that the secretary sometimes tells you, the boss is not in at the moment. The boss is gone out, he's gone overseas, he'll be back in 2 weeks. Now you must wait 2 weeks for your dua to be accepted. Nothing like that. And neither has there a pre-recorded message there that for English press 1 or for Arabic press 1, for English press 2, for another language press this number. No, so much so that you got no language. You don't have to press 0 so that I got no language. Allah will hear you. What you got in your heart, you are dumb, you can't speak, but Allah will hear you. And you do, if you are but deaf and you can't hear, then you don't have to also worry that I can't hear you. Allah will speak to you and you will hear Allah in your heart. You don't have to put the loudspeaker on and then listen to Allah Ta'ala. Allah will speak to you in your heart. And all the time Allah is available to you. So all we have to do, make that effort, Allah give us tawfiq to make our contact with Allah. And Allah has kept this open for all the people in the world. How many ayat start, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the people towards Islam, he didn't say, Ya ayyuhal mu'minuna aminu. He said, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah. That, O people, say La ilaha illallah. So this La ilaha illallah, La ilaha, we negate everything and everyone besides Allah. Illallah. That we believe in Allah and the oneness of Allah, the unity of Allah, the tawheed of Allah Ta'ala. We turn solely to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. And this, when a person is blessed with this, then Allah gives him great honor. We know very well, a person has got needs, everyone has got. One is, a person chooses the way to go and ask everyone, to go and speak to everyone. Then he loses his respect. People don't regard him as anything. But he turns to one Allah and he asks nobody. And people say also, this person doesn't ask anyone whatsoever. And they come to know that you're getting up at tahajjud and you are making dua to Allah, more they get respect for you. Allah puts in their hearts more respect for you. So the more we stay independent of the creation, the more we get exalted and positioned by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. And all this is muzakara. It is for me also, for all of us. Not that I have got it and others must get it. No, we are all in need of it. And we are all in need of it all the time. And whenever we speak, whenever we listen, fortunate is that person, the speaker also, who understands this is for me. And the listener also, everyone understands it's for me. But when we're listening, that I wish my children were listening now. I wish my father could hear this, what is being spoken about. I wish that so and so could hear, then we won't benefit. And in fact, by that, we will think, I am good, I am better. Others are lower. So they must be, pride will come into us. But when a person listens, and in reality, we are in need of deen, of Allah, of the words of deen, right up to the end of our last moments of our lives. We are all the time in need of Allah Ta'ala. So this is that tawheed. And in this month of Safar, we should take this lesson. That all these bad omens that we have, and all the superstitious things, and still they are so alive in us, superstitious things. And in fact, unfortunately, in how many of our families, the old people who know about the superstition, and they present it in such a way that you have to follow the superstition. And we regard them that these are very learned people and they are pious because of the superstition. that is for the very antithesis of deen and the opposite of our deen. So we have to try and bring this into us, and we bring the true tawheed into us, that we have nothing to do with all these superstitious things, etc. And all till today, how many of us we feel that when a cat crosses the road, then we believe accident will take place or something? Where has the cat got the power to cause an accident? Or anything else like that. The cat is meowing at night, crying at night. We believe that we'll get news of somebody who has passed away. It has got nothing to that. And there is no end to all the superstitious beliefs that people have got. And Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh had exposed all these things. And he made it known. And all customary things, bid'at, which have become part of deen, unfortunately, in the eyes of so many people, that this is part of deen, where it is in actual fact, the furthest thing away from deen, bid'at, innovations. And in there also, we are taught not to go to the extreme, that we say that everything new is bid'at. So everything new, we also knew. We were not in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is also bid'at. Or for example, the Jummah khutbah is given in Masjid Nabawi, in Masjid Haram Sharif of Makkah, and after that it's translated into Urdu language. So that person will say there that what you call it, we must avoid all bid'at. And bid'at, he says, there is nothing like a good bid'at and a bad bid'at. Every bid'at is bad. Now that translation in Urdu, where was that in the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam? That also was not there. One khutbah finished, another khutbah started at the back, one from the front, one from the back again, another khutbah in Urdu. So we have to follow and understand those ulama who have understood hadith. And one beautiful information that we had gathered also, that one person had asked a great muhaddith in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, very great muhaddith. He said that, teach me hadith. And that muhaddith became angry on him. He said, hadith is not for you. Hadith is for the fuqaha. Those who can understand hadith, the hadith is for them. For us is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise we will take, and which is so glaring and open today. A person takes a hadith according to his understanding. He interprets it, not even following the way up to to get the proper understanding from the sources. Or not even from contemporary ulama who have devoted their lives for the study of Arabic, for the study of how the hadith was compiled, or every hadith, what was the chain of a hadith, so many things. We just took that outward, zahiri words of the hadith, and we made our own interpretation. That person will be led astray. Just like the Quran Sharif says about itself, by the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, many people are led towards the guidance and many people are misled when we make our own interpretations and our own understanding out of it. So in the same way, the hadith also, those fuqaha who can understand the hadith and the context of it and the proper ruling, we are responsible and mukallaf to follow fiqh, to follow the teachings of the fuqaha. And they are not teaching us anything besides hadith. They are not teaching us not one but away from Quran Sharif. They are teaching us the pure deen. And when we want to teach hadith, we want to learn hadith without all these things. In fact, in our madaris also, there was a time when a student was introduced to hadith, was only in the year before his final year, Mishkat Sharif. Now he had done all the other things of fiqh, usul hadith, all that, then he will be able to understand hadith properly. And when in the final year, then you understand hadith, and which Allah has inspired our elders and our buzurgs, that hadith is not taught in our madaris as a hadith subject, but moreover as a fiqh subject, to understand the rulings of the hadith. And that is what is important, that we have to follow. Otherwise, if we just want to follow without understanding, we just want to follow the hadith, we can easily get astray, just as we want to study Quran Sharif without having the proper understanding of it and the proper means to get into Quran Sharif. And a person goes astray right from the beginning, where Allah says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ, that we have made the Qur'an Sharif easy. And for what Allah Ta'ala is saying, but He's using it for something else. That the Qur'an Sharif, so everyone has a right to the Qur'an Sharif. That is not the case. So anyway, so to understand deen correctly, we need our ulama and those that have a proper understanding of Qur'an Sharif and hadith, which we term today as fiqh. Today, unfortunately, in many circles, fiqh has also become a swear word. That we must only follow Qur'an hadith, we must not follow fiqh. We must not follow any imam. We must just follow Qur'an Sharif and Hadith Sharif directly. Whereas the reality is something completely opposite. So this is a responsibility for us to understand and to explain to our children. That is very, very important. To explain to the rest of the ummah. In whichever way we can do to explain to the rest of the ummah also. And to get to the rest of the ummah, we need every effort of deen. Hazrat Maulana Mufti Wali Hasan Sahib Tonki was a great, great muhaddith, Mufti of Allama bin Nuri town madrasa, new town madrasa in Karachi. One of his students say that on one occasion, Hazrat came for his to teach Bukhari Sharif, and he came he came there, and as he said, he said, Tabligh Haq hai. Tabligh haq hai, tabligh haq hai, tabligh is correct, tabligh. The Hazrat, what happened? We're starting your stomach in this way. He said, as I was coming to teach, I was at a crossroads in Karachi city, where there are hundreds, thousands of people walking around, cars going, buses going, hooters and people and everything. As I stood there, a thought came to me, that all these people, who outwardly, the vast majority of them seem that they are far from deen. Now, it is our responsibility to bring everyone to deen. Now, who is going to bring them to deen? He said that Darul Uloom people are sitting in their Darul Ulooms, which is also haq, and it is absolutely essential. He said the Khanqa people are sitting in their Khanqas, which is also 100% necessary and absolutely essential. The people who are writing kitabs, that is also 100% necessary, and it is essential also. All the other social welfare work, everything is absolutely essential. But these people, who is going to reach them? He says, only the Tabligh people, they look for one individual. And they go to that person and they try and speak to him about deen, try and bring him on to deen. Nobody else will go and meet all these people. And the amount of work that is carrying on, alhamdulillah, we must make dua, Raimin Ijtima, Allah make it a great success. All the efforts of deen, and through that Allah make deen spread in the world, and let true deen become alive everywhere. So, how much work is there? How many jamaats will be going out? But it's not yet the tip of the iceberg also. Where we have to reach, alhamdulillah, there isn't perhaps a place in the world that is left where there isn't jamaat work. But yes, there is, in Malawi, just a number of years ago, those places which Malawi people, whether it is the Asian people or the local residents, the people born on the soil of Malawi, off the main road, there are so many villages on both sides. And Raiwin, they are aware of it. And they make the rules of the Jamaat, which the Malawi people don't know. But yet, in spite of that, they say, how many villages and villages are still left out, that the Jamaat hasn't still reached also. So, no matter how much work is done, as mashallah, our elders say, don't see what is done, see what has to be done. And how much is done, make shukr. But what has to be done, Allah give us tawfiq. In the same way, in all these places, just to mention it, and that we don't become just illusion, there is no need. In the same sense that we should not be affected with bad luck things. Should not be affected with all this superstition. In the same way, we should not be affected and take things that we look things now, what is happening in the world, what is happening to Islam, what is happening to Muslims. No, there is great, great work. So in that light also, the makatib that are being established to so many places, and how they are functioning, and what great work is happening way, way in the jungles, which you cannot believe. one of our friends who is here now also, he says they went to Zanzibar, most probably it was, and the cars, they stopped on the side of the road and they walked right deep into the jungle, so to say. When he came there, he says so much like difficulty walking, no, there is hardly a proper pathway, thorns, stones and what, when he reached there. And many of our other brothers also say, when we go to some places for the imtihanat and to check whether the madaris are running correctly, and there we feel that we travel so much, we walk so much, and hardship and difficulty, and what are we getting? But suddenly you reach there and you hear the sound that they are reading Quran Sharif. You're right in the jungle. Not a village also, right a jungle, where they are reading the kalima of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are reading the kalam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So can we imagine by Allah what is the value? And whoever is taking part in this, and there are many people who are mashallah supporting these causes, whether it is in America, South America, whether it is in Asia, whether it is in Africa, whether it is in Australia. One brother of ours working in one, is a doctor by profession. But really he is a full-time dying, and he is doing the makatib work in such a place where the heat is so intense that we wouldn't even ever think of going there for a minute. But his whole life practically he's spending there and establishing these makatib and running them. So there is great, great hope and great goodness that is happening in the ummah. It is being covered up with the media, which is being covered up with propaganda. And unfortunately, we have become slaves of the media also. We have become slaves of the propaganda also. And then we also feel helpless. And that is also, I think, la tafara. That don't become helpless, don't lose hope. On the other hand, if we look at the history of Islam also, then what conditions the ummah went to, but Islam is just spreading all the time. Right in the time of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, what halat and conditions the Ummah went through. After that time, the incident of Karbala, what the Muslims went through. The time of the Tatars when they invaded Baghdad, etc. What the Muslims went through. And many, many other such occasions. Such times that the enemy felt convinced that Islam is now finished for once and for all. Muslims also thought now there is no Islam. But how Islam, again now once more in the whole world, Allah Ta'ala has spread Islam. And this is, for example, in the Haramain Sharifain, especially in Makkatul Mukarramah, when you see the people from all four corners of the world, from across the social strata, people from the highest position to the lowest position, whether we might have some objections in our hearts that for these people VIP treatment is made, for them to read Salatul Salam, or for them to make tawaf, they have been guided and guarded for all this. But the people right at the top are also coming, and as ordinary people they come there. Though they have that VIP, but they are just ordinary human beings. And in front of Allah, all are the same. And on the occasion of Hajj, then everyone is in their ihram. Old people for whom there is provision. If, for example, in Makkah Sharif, they can make their tawaf on the wheelchair. And we feel so ashamed that we hardly have an excuse. And we use the wheelchair in the same way. One other lesson, by the way, we should also take, which is also stressed by the people who are concerned of the condition of the ummah, that our chairs that we use, by all means, it is ulama, muftiyan have permitted it, but that now even young people, just as I say, sometimes we don't have a real excuse. If we got an excuse, you got a back problem, you got some other problem, by all means it's permitted. But just now it has become like fashion. And a person just sits on the chair. Allahu Akbar. One person explained so beautifully, the adab of the masjid are summed up in one word. And that is tazallul. That is inkisari, humility, humbleness. When we enter the masjid, imagine whose house we are entering. And what am I and who am I? And that here is the place that I'm going to put my forehead, my brains on the ground in front of who. If we keep that in mind, there will be no loud talking in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. One person, he explained that about 50 years ago, in the haram of Mecca, there would be pin drop silence. And today, unfortunately, we know what is how it is happened, what is happening. And at that time, he says, if a person wanted to speak to the person sitting near him, he'll go right close to his ear and whisper in his ear. And that also something which was only absolutely necessary. Otherwise, he will leave it for a later time. So, what respect they had for the house of Allah. So, this, if we Allah makes it to be embedded in our hearts, that when we go into the masjid at that time, think, whose house I'm going? And when we're going to Baytullah Sharif, then how much more? While we are going to the haram, we are talking about all other things. We are talking about the taxi, we are talking about our food, we are talking about everything. When we entering the haram, we are still talking about all other things. And we are seeing the Kaaba Sharif in front of us. And then also we are still talking about other things. If we have that, we get trained. And that is why we come here for this muzakara, which is an opportunity for all of us to speak to one another. And we get trained in this way. And we realize when Allah give us over and over the opportunity to go and visit our beloved Nabi, alayhi salatu wassalam, and to go to the house of Allah Ta'ala. And not only to the house, but so to say, Allah is everywhere all the time, but the right through Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. That we go right to the house of Allah, we are going right to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala, on the one hand, has made himself so freely accessible, as I explained, it isn't only between 9 and 5, 9 and 4 Allah's hours, all the time. Whether you are on Safar, whether you are in Hadar, wherever you are, Allah is there. Whether you are at the Haram, whether you are at home, Allah is here for you also. You can call upon Allah and you just say, Allah. And Allah says, my banda, I am present, hazir. What is it that you want from me? And Allah Ta'ala will reply. And Allah Ta'ala will respond. And Allah Ta'ala is that being that is more kind to us than all the fathers of the world together. All the mothers of the world. All and how much love the parents got for their children, and how much affection, and how much the parents see what the goodness of the child is. A child, by the time of 12, 13, he wants to drive the car, he wants the key. But the parents, in that love and kindness and affection and the goodness of the child, they keep him back. And they only will allow him when he can, when he's, and then also, at the age of 18, even if he gets his license, they are still cautious with him. And his desire is to have it now, by 12 I must get the car. By 13, he wants a cell phone. And those parents who understand reality, they will also understand when and how and what kind of a cell phone to give to the child, what it is. He has got that desire. Allah knows our needs even more, and knows our desires, and will give us the things that, not immediately, a child who has to wait from 13 years till 18 years to get the car. And then just to drive also under supervision, etc. For him, those 5 years are impossible to wait. So by Allah Ta'ala, who knows, he knows when to give. And there are so many things Allah will give on the day of Qiyamah. And then a person will realize and wish that I was given nothing in the dunya. And I was given everything. But we are too much in a hurry. Quran Sharif in so many ayat speak the hurriedness of a person. He wants things now done. A youngster wants his gun also, and a gun license also when he's still young. Parents know very well this is not right for a child. Where can we buy him a gun, and where can we give him, let him have a gun license? But how he cries for it, and they keep it away. In the goodness of, not in the enmity of the child, in the goodness of the child. So all this is Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala's kindness. Allah accepts everywhere, wherever you are, Allah will accept from you. But Allah Ta'ala will see there are different forms which we have heard, which we are explaining ourselves to others, how du'as are accepted, but every du'a Allah Ta'ala accepts. We make it with earnestness and sincerity, and it is, and du'as are accepted in one riwayat, as long as you say that my du'a is not accepted. Definitely Allah Ta'ala accepts du'as. So with regard to the safar of Umrah, and Allah grant us all that over and over, before we even started our safar, we saw the miracle of Allah Ta'ala. One friend of ours, Rai Anwar, who is here from Mauritius, he had come to spend time in the Jamaat. He finished his time in the Jamaat, and then he thought he will spend about a week here in the Khanqah. And when he came here, he found out that we are going for Umrah. So he also decided. And outwardly, I was looking at outward conditions that it was 100% impossible. Just that one or two days to get the visa. He's a Mauritian and here in South Africa, and he didn't bring funds also for the for Umrah Safar, nothing, etc. But how it got done, that before us he was there already in Medina Sharif. And that was openly, you could see the signs of Allah Ta'ala, the workings of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah give us again that we don't trust our asbab as much as we trust the Zaat of Allah. Asbab we are mukallaf of, we use our asbab in the means, but our yaqeen must be on the Zaat of Allah Ta'ala. Then all other things also, how Allah, when a person's niyat is there, sincerely, how Allah opens the doors for that person. And how Allah's help comes, we cannot imagine. So Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. And these are such great, great places that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. Where, one thing, Allah Ta'ala let us realize, many times we get this wrong notion that we only have got deen. Other people have, they've got a different aspect of deen. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that Allah loves this, every sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much that Allah has kept it alive till the day of Qiyamah. For that, one of the things which Hazrat used to explain, that Allah Ta'ala made our four mazahib, Ahnaf, Malikis, Hanbalis, and Shafi'is. Rahimuhum, all the great imams, Allah Ta'ala reward them tremendously. So for example, Hanafis, we don't make rafi yadain. In every posture we don't lift our hands. But you find it in the hadith. So Allah Ta'ala put it in the Shafi Mazhab. So that sunnah is alive there. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not lift his hands all the times. Other times he did not lift. So Allah put it in the Hanafi Mazhab. So every sunnah is left alive. To say Ameen loudly, and not screaming and saying Ameen loudly, just loudly. That also was present. And to say Ameen softly was also present. So one is in one mazhab, one is in the other mazhab. So every sunnah, if there was only Hanafi mazhab in the world, then many other sunnahs would not be alive. If there was only Hanbali mazhab in the world, many other sunnahs will not be alive. So every sunnah is alive. So one great thing also, which one unfortunate thing that we are suffering from, especially when we go to the Haramain Sharifain, we have a lot of objections on the various actions of the people. Various objections. But we don't take the trouble to find out what is the position in their mazhab. We are just from our mazhab. We are just looking at it from our point of view. If we find out, then we see what they are doing is correct. And we have no right to object to that whatsoever. Every person in the same mazhab also, where we are living. For example, we are here in the Gauteng area. Now, our version of Islam is to a certain extent little different if you go to Cape Town. It's little different if you go to Egypt. It's different if you go to any other country. They have got a different Arab sort of Islam and our type of Islam, Indian type of Islam. The application sort of is a little different. And we feel only we are right. But if you come to see, Allah has kept many things alive. For example, here in the Haramain, we find that salam is hardly there. And we know all are Muslims. We're only Muslims are allowed there. All are Muslims. But hardly you don't make salam yourself. For whatever reason, nobody makes salam. You make salam, nobody gives a reply. And today the other thing is, everyone is so busy with his cell phone that he does not hear the salam that you are making. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the complaint that when that he also so busy in fikr of deen, of akhirah, that he did not hear the salam. But here we are in this year all the time. And there also, Allah give us tawfiq. As in the, are we personally involved? Let us be only involved on the right things on the cell phone. And for other people, let us make husn-e-zan. He must be reading Quran Sharif on the cell phone. He must be reading his du'as, his wazifas on the cell phone. And he's so engrossed. So with other people, have good thoughts. And with our regard to ourselves, don't give others a chance to have bad thoughts of us. And the reason of bad thoughts, that generally these things are used for the wrong things. But there are so many people who use it for so many good things, and real good things that they are using it for. So anyway, So, and also another thing that we should try and take a lesson from, today we know they have made the shopping centers everywhere. From whichever hotel, whichever you are staying, the more further you are from the haram, the more you are going to be faced with this. And there also we should not look at it only in the negative way. And we only criticize it. We criticize it, and for our needs we go and buy there also. And like our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Allah give him great, great reward, he should say that you have to go for your needs to the shopping, to the marketplaces, the shopping areas, to the banks, to all the places. And you find women there, and in other countries or everywhere in the world, how they are dressed, etc. So Hazrat used to say, don't look at it only negatively, but these are the places where Allah Ta'ala is distributing Jannah certificates. That every time there is a woman, you just keep your gazes low and keep your gazes and your eyes and your heart pure. Certificate of Jannah for you. So you can collect so many certificates. And not photocopy certificates, not copy certificates, original, genuine certificates so many times. As many times as you lower your gaze in the fear of Allah, certificate of Jannah. So when we go to the shopping areas, then read the fourth kalima. And with the little word that comes, etc., wa wahiyyu la yamut, and we're getting so much of reward for that. We go to a shopping area, yeah, we are going to spend 500 rand, 1000 rand, 2000 rand, and we're buying our necessities, we're getting them in return. But if we're reading the fourth kalima, what rewards of akhirah? For every time you are reading it, 1 million sawabs. And in the Haramain Sharifain, how much more the rewards are. So there we can get that also. We found also very, very pleasantly surprising that right in the first Saf in Masjid al-Nabawi, right in the first Saf, if a person went there at Tahajjud Azan time, you won't get placed in the first Saf. And those places are taken not by people who have come for Umrah. From what we seem to understand, they are all the local people of Medina Sharif. And they are there from so early that if you come by Tahajjud Azan time, it's difficult to get a place in the first Saf. How much earlier they have come, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And then, not only that they are there so early, but so engaged in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. How many of them we see that one rakat of namaz is so long. We try and read our namazes and we think we are reading some tahajjud, but when we see there one rakat and our tahajjud and our dua is every finished, they spend in their one rakat. Their one sajda is so long. And they are the local people of Medina Sharif, local people of Makkah Sharif. So what great qualities Allah Ta'ala has given them. And then for dua, when they stand in dua for about an hour, half an hour, three quarter hour, they are standing and making dua. And for us to wait little while, while standing at the door or where they make their groups in order to move forward, we find that difficult. But for them, they stay so long. And they are engaged in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. See, that point I was mentioning, that everywhere in the world, Allah has kept His great beloved servants also. Whether it is in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif, whether it is in India and Pakistan, in Indonesia and Malaysia, whether it is in America, whether it is in London, everywhere Allah has kept His pious people in the whole world. Whether they are amongst the women, whether they are amongst the men, whether they are amongst the elderly, whether they are amongst the young, but Allah has kept them everywhere. And it is by the services and the ibadat and the connection with Allah by these people that the world is carrying on. We focus on the negative things and we wonder at what is happening. But these people are in abundance. Not only present, but they are in abundance. And their great ibadat, their great sacrifices, and what ibadat, and what mujahada, and what sacrifices. Just to give, there are so many striking examples. One jamaat came to our country from Malawi, and one brother was there who usually hosts us also, their family, and we know their condition, wealthy people living in so much of comfort and luxury. But when he came in jamaat, in the locations here, in the rural areas, staying in the jamaat khanas, in the musallas, where in the there is nothing in order. The toilet is difficult according to our standards and their standards to call it a toilet. There is really no shower, bathroom. The toilet, you should bath in the toilet. Everything is there, but how they make this mujahada. And we think that Allah Ta'ala is not noticing it, and just the sacrifices that they are making, and they are going and working amongst these people, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's raining, whatever it is, what big, big sacrifices are taking place. There are people, students who are studying, what sacrifices they are making. Just presently, some students who are studying, the parents came and are staying here, in Zakaria Park, the father passed away. What sacrifices for the sake of the studies of the children they are making. So all these are great, great sacrifices which are taking place, and Allah Ta'ala notices it, and Allah Ta'ala will bring the changes. Now we wonder that these conditions what the ummah is going through, for they say, Har karmada ke baad Islam zinda hota hai. After the Tatars invaded Baghdad, how Islam became alive again after that. And one nice lesson to take from there, and after Karbala again, Islam sort of outwardly went right down, but how Allah brought it up again in the world. One great lesson that we can take from the instance of the Tatars when they invaded Baghdad, etc. After now the Tatars had gained control, they were ruling, everything was their rule. On one occasion, one princess of theirs was going out. She saw a group of Muslim people standing. She asked them, "What are you people doing here, gathered like this?" They say, "We're waiting for our senior, our sheikh, our great alim, whoever it was. He came. When he came," she asked him, "Isn't Islam the true religion?" He said, 100% Islam is the true religion. She asked that, "Aren't you people Muslims?" "Yes." "Aren't you people on the truth, on haq?" He said, "Yes." "Isn't Allah's help with you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Then how come we overpowered you?" There is a clear sign that Allah's help is with us, and that we are overpowering and we ruling now. We have got outward izzat and honor, and we are ruling. So Allah's help is with us, and we are on the truth. So then he asked her, "Did you ever notice and see a shepherd with his shepherd dog?" She said, "Yes, I've seen that." "And did you see that a sheep or a goat or one of the animals gets separate from the flock and has run away?" "Yes." "And then what happens?" "The shepherd sends his shepherd dog to catch that animal and bring it back again. And it's trained. It won't bite that animal, it won't touch it, it just brings him back safely." So he said, exactly like that, we ran away from the true Islam. We lost our ways, we went into dunya, we went into the disobedience of Allah. And you are that shepherd dog of Allah, that Allah has sent you to pull us back to Islam again. And as soon as we come back to Islam, again, وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَالَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah promised you will be the most high if you are true believers. If you have submitted truly and completely to Allah Ta'ala. So this is what we are. What is happening in the world is a wake-up call for us that we come back to our deen and to our Islam. So we should take lessons from this. And from the Haramain Sharifain, there are more than enough lessons. Now when we were there, it was also the Ayyam Ibin, the middle days of the month. One person in Makkah, in Medina Sharif, it was Monday or Thursday, and they all keep rose up, and to what numbers, how many dastarkhan. And now we notice this time, even in the Haram of Makkah, everywhere dastarkhan support. So they are keeping those rozas, and whoever has kept roza doesn't just bring his own iftari. Unfortunately, us, Allah make us maaf, we come with our 2-3 khajurs for ourselves. They come with baskets and baskets. And then they put it out for everyone. Whether you got roza or you haven't got, they, all of them, as far as we can see, all of them, that rozas, they are regular. So in Medina Sharif, and then after namaz, they put like a meal out. And they eat so little, so much they bring, and eat themselves so little, it is to feed everyone. That hospitality. And then these rozas. And then this person in Medina Sharif, we speaking a little after namaz, he said that, "Yeah, rozas are every Monday and Thursday, Ayyam Ibin, the middle days of the month, 12, 13 and 14. So he says that you must come here these days you will find dastarkhan here. And he said, come to my house also, and have meals at my house. So heart, their hearts are so open. So Allah give us tawfiq to take lessons. One great thing also, many of us, we go there and we bring the things of China, we bring the things of the world from there. But what are the good things? or the other things of other madhabs, of other things, we perhaps bring those things. In our dressing example, men's dressing, ladies' dressing. But what is the people there, the rosas? How many of us bring rosas as an inspiration? And we start keeping our Monday, Thursday rosas. We start keeping our ayyam bees rosas. Very few of ours. And with the mujahada, we will go to Quba, for example. We will want to go to Uhud, for example. We will go to Qiblatain, for example. Or wherever we go. But the lessons of those places, which our Shaykh Damod Barakatum has written in his kitab, that from everywhere, from the Shuhada of Uhud, take the lessons of how they sacrificed. That in one day, 70 Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, and who are the Sahaba? We just say Sahaba. But where, what they left behind to become a Sahabi. And when they had become a Sahabi, what their lives were. It's out of this world, what their lives were. And their 70 of their caliber became, gave their blood. In Hazrat's beautiful words, they wrote their love for Allah in the history of Islam. With their blood they wrote it. They gave their blood. So much so, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu's son says that in the battle you had come in front of me and I could have slayed you. And because of you being my father, I did not kill you. Hazrat Abu Bakr, for his son, he says, oh my son, had you come in front of me and you were in the state of kufr, I should not have spared you. What the level of iman was. No blood. Today we, for simple small things, we give preference to our own personal things. So these are the lessons that we have to learn from there. So there are great, great lessons that we have to take from there. And Allah Ta'ala make these realities in our lives. And that we, Allah take us all for all the efforts of deen. Whether it is going for an ijtima, whether it is going in jamaat, whether it is going to do social welfare work, whether it is any and everything, Allah, whether it is for hajj, for umrah, everything of deen, which is haq and which is correct, Allah accept us all for that over and over. And Allah save us from all wrong things. Whether it is extravagance, whether it is nifaq, hypocrisy, whether it is bid'at, innovations in deen, all this, and especially what is affecting the ummah very greatly, is extravagance. Lot of extravagance in all our things. We will wear a scarf, and there is extravagance on there. For example, a scarf, this white scarf, for example, it will cost a certain amount of riyals. The same scarf, just with that Saudi emblem, that costs you about 4 or 5 times the amount. Now, just because you like the Saudi emblem, and now you put that on, how much of israf is in there? Shoes, you can buy an ordinary pair of shoes so much, but you buy a brand name. And now you're paying for the brand name, what are you paying for? And for women folk, even more, and that is their target. They know that women folk, for fashion, for brand names, how much won't they spend? They would have bought a new abaya today. Tomorrow they see another one, they will buy the new one, the other one again. So Allah save us from all these things and come down to that simplicity. One last point I'll just mention. One brother has explained very beautifully, and there is also a great lesson for us as grown-ups, as parents, for all of us we need it, that with the expansion of the Haramain, and the people that are coming, it was necessary that hotels must be built now. Otherwise, if we had kept on the ground floor, and amount of people that come, where should they get placed? 20 kilometers away. Now, to come to the Haram from 20 kilometers, yeah, just to come from Azizia, we know, or even from nearer to Azizia to come to the Haram is a job. Today we are so spoiled. If we don't get placed immediately at the Haram, we find it difficult and hard. But there are people that you notice that from where they are staying, they come to the Haram, they've walked already like they could have done 2-3 Umrahs already. And now they come, and they come so fresh to the when they start their Umrah. And we get tired just walking from the nearby hotel, and we find it too hard. So had they not built hotels and going up, where should it have been? But on the other hand, if that was kept in mind, the simplicity and the ethos of Islam, And these hotels were not built with their architecture and with their facial, the outward, how it is built, what all it looks like. Perhaps you are in Paris or you are in London or where are you in New York, all the way the hotel. If they've been built with that simplicity, then it would have made a great difference. And this all starts right from the, if we don't nip in these things in the bud, that is for our children. Everything, there is just one example to see all the other things. We don't nip it in the bud, and eventually it grows to that extent. Now we see the whole city, with the roads which are necessary also, all the new roads, etc. But it must not happen, it just becomes a city like any other city. Where just as a sideline, the Haram Sharif and Umrah just a sideline, and then just the life like all the other cities. You enter a hotel, we know what is the condition, how you are received there. It is like no difference that if you enter a hotel in Paris or you enter a hotel in New York, it is the same there also. And all the other amenities and facilities are there. So had that Islamic system of simplicity being maintained, and the accommodation and amenities and facilities were all there, then it was, should have been different. And from there, it doesn't end there now. Now that whole lifestyle also is coming. Whether it is the woman who are going to be driving, or whether it is all the other freedom that is going to, that is being emphasized and coming, and vision 2030 that is going to be a city like any other city in the world. Hey, all this happened, and where did it start? But usually when one person, the father, the mother, grandfather wants to stop death at the beginning, everyone who are pious also are against him. And they told him, now what is wrong with this? Allow this, there is nothing wrong. And where is it forbidden in the Quran? That this buzurg also did that buzurg, and we started there, but we don't realize we will go to the qabr, next generation will go to the qabr, and then what it is the result of it will be. So fortunate are those people who can see these things. And whether it is a wedding, how the wedding is made. Then from the wedding, it's a honeymoon. What is that honeymoon? And then how that house is furnished, etc. All these things lead to more and more things which come later. So we have to ask Allah Ta'ala that He guides us in these things. Otherwise, we get misled and we go on these wrong directions. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and may Allah give us the love of Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif, and put it in our hearts. When we can go, let us go. And let there be no excuse that keeps us back. And as long as we cannot go, cultivate the love of the Sunnah, the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See to all the needs of the Ummah in the various ways, and fulfill them all. And we keep on making dua that Allah take us over and over and keep us there finally. May Allah Ta'ala, out of His kindness, we are not worth it in the least place. And one very important dua also that we have to make, that Allah give us the respect and honor of the places. We can never ever fulfill the rights where we can't even ever imagine and know the rights of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Baytullah Sharif. And we are right there so near with our all napaki and our dirt and our pulse. May Allah guide us all to righteousness.